Okay, let's pray and we'll get going. Father, I love you. Thank you for today. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Passpoint class. It's awesome to be a part of what you're doing here at Heartland and just these people's lives and just seeing what you're doing. Each and every one of these families are busy about different things, you know, raising up kids, raising up disciples, you know, just busy in the ministry. Just pray for Mitch and Jody. Mitch is preaching at Passaic this morning, and you know, Chris and Abby are on vacation seeing his folks this week, and so I pray for them as they travel back today. And there's just a lot of things happening, and so I just thank you for being able to be a part of these people's lives. And so, Lord, I pray you'd speak to us today as we get back into the book of Acts. Lord, just bless your word. Just give me peace, and just allow things to go well this morning in Christ's name. Amen. All right, if you got your Bibles, open up to Acts chapter 16. So we've been working through Acts. A couple weeks ago, I finished Acts 15. And what was the big thing that happened at the end of Acts chapter 15? Let's just make sure everybody's brains are in the same spot. That's right. Man, I was going to have to reteach it, and that was going to be weird. So at least somebody remembered, you know, because I didn't really want to teach that again. There's been some personal things in my life where just that passage in general, it's just hard to read because, you know, there's times when you feel like I'm going to minister with this person, you know, not really your spouse, but like this maybe co-labor forever. There's nothing that's going to separate us. And then, you know, life happens and I don't know, things happen. And the next thing you know, it's you're not. And all you can do is be true to what you know to do. And you can't decide things for other people. And, you know, it says that the division, the contention was so sharp between Paul and Barnabas that, you know, they just, it drove them apart, and it said that they departed asunder. And so that's kind of how we ended Acts chapter 15. And so today, I want to look at five verses. I'm going to be quick. I want to be quick. I want to be finished, wrapped up. Make sure that's unlocked. I know there's probably some other people coming. So, okay. Sometimes it gets closed, and then people look in, and it's just awkward. So anyway, okay, I want to look at just the first five verses. I don't have a lot to say about this. But I do want to kind of get our brains going on it. And then at the end of class, I have something I just kind of want to talk to you guys about. So anyway, we'll get to that when we get there. So if you're looking for a title today, All Things to All Men, that's kind of what we're talking about. And let me just read the first five verses of Acts chapter 15, and we'll kind of see what's going on here. And then we'll pick back up next week as far as where it goes from here. But I definitely don't want to go past verse 5 today. Just because. So anyway, Acts chapter 16, it says, then came he, meaning Paul. So Paul and Silas have went, they have went on their own. They separated from Barnabas and John Mark. And so anyway, it says that then came he, meaning Paul, to Derbe and Lystra. This is after verse 41 of chapter 15, because they kind of go together. Sometimes there's a really nice clean break in the Bible where it's like this is a completely different time frame. 41 rolls right into chapter 16, verse 1. Like you wouldn't even have to have a chapter break here. And so you kind of have to understand it says in verse 41 of chapter 15, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Those are places that he had already went on his first trip. Okay. And then you get to chapter 16, verse 1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus. Now, if you've been around Christianity at all, you hear about Paul and Timothy all the time, right? You know, Timothy's a disciple, and honestly, you know, he grows up in the Lord. Timothy actually writes his own books later in the New Testament, and so Timothy is a big deal in the New Testament. But this is the first time we hear about this guy. And so sometimes you don't really know, like, where'd this guy come from? Well, this is it. And so it says he met a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek. And we'll get into kind of some details of this whole thing. But, and then in verse 2, which was well reported of by the brethren which were at Lystra and Iconium. So he's got a good testimony. And then in verse 3, him would Paul have to go forth with him. Now, just pause for a second. John Mark, like Paul would not take John Mark with him. There, something happened that was so contentious on the first trip that like he can't go. But yet, Paul sees something in just the testimony of this young kid, Timothy, in the little bit of time that he's been with him, that he says, but I will take him. And so you kind of have to read between the lines and understand, like, the testimony of Paul is, it's got to stand for something. And I trust Paul's judgment when it comes to these kinds of things because, well, his testimony and you know, his lifestyle, it has proved itself out over time. And so it says him, would Paul have to go forth with him? And it says, and took him, meaning Timothy, and circumcised him, being because of the Jews which were in all those quarters. For they knew all that his father, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Verse 4. And they went through the cities and delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained to the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. That's talking about the four things that, you know, the leaders at Jerusalem said, hey, these are the things that we need the Gentiles to keep. That's what Paul was doing at the beginning of this trip. He was going around telling these churches, hey, it's awesome that the Gentiles got saved. These are the four things that that the leaders of the church in Jerusalem want to make sure that you guys are keeping to. And we'll review those things in a minute. So anyway, that's what they're doing. They're going around. They're confirming these things. And in verse 5, and so were the churches established in faith and increased in number daily. So they're growing. They go. And really, the only thing we see in the first five verses is Paul's going around. He's got Silas with him. And now he's got this guy, Timothy. We see they're going around. They're confirming the churches. They're letting them know the things that the church at Jerusalem had to say, making sure that they're doing good, making sure that the leadership that was established is established and it's growing. And then the only other thing we really learn in the first five verses are about this young kid named Timothy. And so, you know, I titled this All Things to All Men, and it's just very, very basic today. But, you know, what does the Bible say about Timothy? Because we know a lot about him when he grows. You know, he writes books, 1st and 2nd Timothy, you know, or Paul writes those books, you know, to, you know, Timothy and whatnot. And so it says that his mom was a Jew and his dad was a Greek, or meaning a Gentile. Okay. And so that wasn't super common in the culture. The Jews were, for the most part, supposed to be holy, a people, but it wasn't completely uncommon, especially once you got into, and I don't want to get too much into history and things that happened, but when they went into captivity, and then when they came out of captivity, you know, the books of Ezra and Nehemiah talk about, how Ezra was just broken because these people were doing what they ought not be doing. They were going and they were marrying into people that they shouldn't. And so anyway, it kind of references those things, and that's what they're talking about is Jews marrying into Gentile people, and you know, they needed to stay holy under their God and different things like that. Okay, it really has nothing to do with us. The point is, I want to make sure we understand that the Bible does not contradict itself. Because what we see happen is that Paul decides he needs to circumcise Timothy, right? But why would that be necessary? Because we just learned that in chapter 15, after all of the deal that happened, circumcision was not necessary for Gentiles. They didn't have to be. That was the big thing, that the big contention before Paul and Barnabas broke up. Well, in chapter 15 was the fact that, you know, there were people coming in spreading false doctrine about, you know, the Gentiles needed to keep this Jewish law of circumcision, and then they needed to keep the law of Moses as well. And that was the whole point of chapter 15, was the fact that they didn't have to keep all of that. That wasn't the necessary thing. And, you know, they went to Jerusalem and then they decided on these four things that they wanted to make sure that they kind of kept established and holy in their life. But and so that's kind of begs the question. And I want to make sure, I didn't want to just glance over this, because some of you guys are Bible students enough to realize, like, wait a minute, that doesn't sound like what we just talked about in the last chapter. And so anyway, what does the Bible say about Timothy? You know, it says his mom was a Jew. His dad was a Greek or a Gentile. But what does it say about him in particular? It says in verse 1, he's the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish, but here's what it says. It says he believed. He believed. He believed what? Well, I'm going to guess if his mom was a Jew, that she was living it, right? And we learn later in different books that, you know, his grandmother also had a large influence in his life. And so they were faithful. Even though his dad wasn't, they were faithful. And I would encourage, I don't think there's going to be anybody in Past Point this morning, but I needed to encourage the ladies to say, even if your husband's a deadbeat, be faithful, right? But maybe you know somebody that there's a broken family, and I just need to let you know, like, even if the man goes off the rails, ladies, be faithful, because Timothy's a really good picture of what can happen if you are. And so anyway, that's just kind of a topic for a different day. But anyway, it says that he believed. And then even more important than believing, because there's a lot of people that believe. Different places in the Bible talk about, you know, even the lost believe at times in certain things. And so, but it says in verse 2, it says he was well reported of by the brethren. So, meaning there are Jewish brothers who have seen little Timothy running around. I don't know how old he is at this point. I'm going to guess he's in his teens. Just guessing. Or early 20s. And the fact that Paul is wanting to bring him along with him. He's got a good enough testimony with the leaders around to know that he's well reported of. And that's saying something. I know a lot of Christians that I can't say that their testimony is well reported of. You just can't. And that's unfortunate. You know, but anyway, you know, there were four things in chapter 15 that they said, because we already talked about, like, circumcision was not required, right? Keeping the law was not required. But what were the four things that the church in Jerusalem said the Gentiles needed to keep? Does anybody remember any of them? Strangled. Yeah. Nothing strangled. You keep from the blood. Idols. And then fornication, right? Those are the four things, you know. And so basically we reviewed those. If you want to go back and listen, you know, why those things were important. Obviously, we don't want idolatry. The idols thing, you didn't want to eat food that was offered unto idols, meaning, you know, just because it was cheap down on the market because they had sacrificed most of it to Baal, didn't mean that it was good to bring it in to your life. And so anyway, there was that. So there were those four things. Those were the four things that Paul was going around telling the churches. Hey, it's great that you guys are saved. We're glad that you guys are established. And here's the thing that I want you to remember. You don't have to keep the law. You don't have to get circumcised, right? I'm here to let you know that you may have heard through the grapevine that there was some scuttlebutt going around, and you don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to keep the law. Just, you know, maybe establish these four things in your life to stay holy, okay? And then in like the next verse, it says, but Paul wants to take Timothy with him, so he circumcises him. And, you know, some people will read over that and they're like, well, okay, whatever. But like, that's contrary to what we just saw. And I want to make sure we understand that the Bible does not contradict itself. If it ever even seems like the Bible is contradicting itself, like, no, I'm telling you, it says this right here, and it says this right here. The Bible is contradicting itself. Something that we teach in D2, and, you know, we show a lot of examples of this, is if the Bible seems like it is apparently contradicting itself, it does it for a reason. It does it because it's trying to show you, you need to dig a little deeper. You need to see exactly what is going on, right? And so I'm just throwing that out there as a principle of Bible study, but the point is, the big question that this whole thing brings up is, why did Paul decide to circumcise Timmy, right? Well, why did he need to circumcise Timmy before taking him with him? And I want to look at a few verses just to kind of show you why I think this was necessary. I'll kind of give you what I believe, and then we'll kind of wrap this thing up. So flip over to, I don't usually do a lot of flipping, but I want you to see these. Flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 20. Couple books over. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 in verse 20. Now, while you're getting there, Paul also is the author of 1 Corinthians. Now, Paul's not the author of Acts, but it's writing about Paul. And Paul's writing 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians, we just taught through 1 Corinthians a few years ago in Past Point. It's a book of rebuke. And then as you get towards the end, he's just clarifying some things for them in doctrine. But in chapter 9 and verse 20, Paul says this. He says, and unto the Jews, let me back up to verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. He's basically saying, I'm doing everything I can to get the gospel to all different people. He says, I'm a free man. I'm a Roman. But yet I'm also submitting myself unto the rule because I want to make sure that I can minister to these people. And then in verse 20, he says, and unto the Jews I became a Jew, which he was a Jew, Paul, that I might gain the Jews to them that are under the law, as under the law that I might gain them that are under the law. And then it goes on, to them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without the law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. So basically, it goes on, he's like, to the weak I became weak. You remember, he submitted himself to beatings just so he could be like, oh, by the way, I was a Roman, you probably shouldn't have done that, just for the people beating him to be like, oh no, we're in trouble now. Right, he submitted himself to prison in times that he didn't need to. Why? So he could minister to the people in prison. He became all things to all men. So when we look at why he circumcised Timothy, he could have just been like, no, Timothy, I understand your mom's a Jew, but your dad's a Greek. Your dad's a Gentile. And we're going to look at your father's heritage, and you're a Gentile, you don't have to be. But that would have been a reproach to the Jewish people who knew who he was. Why? Well, because they look at him and they respect him because of the fact that he's followed the teaching of his mom. He's followed the what the Word of God has said for so long, right? And so for him to not be circumcised, it would have immediately blemished his testimony in the sense of, well, I understand. I thought you were trying to live by the law. I thought you were trying to live for the Lord, but now you're just, you know, you're trying to get off the hook. And so basically it was just kind of a, Paul was like, I already know this is going to be contentious. So even though you don't have to be circumcised, Timothy, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do this because it's going to be a good testimony to those that think you need to. I'll talk about this in a minute, but there's going to be times in your life that you might not be required by the law or by the actual doctrine of what the Bible says to do certain things. We have liberty in Christ on a lot of things. There's going to be times where you need to be like, I'm probably going to sacrifice my liberty here so that I'm able to minister to these people. I understand that I have liberty to dress however I want when I preach. But there's going to be some people, typically older people in the church, they're going to be very offended if I get up and, you know, preach in tennis shoes or jeans or whatever else. That's just kind of an example. You know what I'm saying? So even though I have liberty to do those things, you know, preach with my hat on backwards, you know, I don't feel like my hat keeps the Spirit of God from connecting with God the Father. I really don't feel like that's what happens. And I had a guy ask me one time, like, do you take your hat off because, you know, it's like a barrier between you and the Lord? And no, I don't think a hat is a barrier between me and the Lord. It's just an act of respect. So anyway, there's times where you have to sacrifice your liberty to minister. You know, you have to become all things to all men. And that's kind of the whole point. So anyway, that's kind of one. Flip over to Galatians chapter 2. A couple more verses and then we'll kind of finish this thing up. I just want to make sure we understand this whole thing. There's not a contradiction here. A few books later, again, Paul is the author of the book of Galatians. Paul's writing these things. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 3. This is what Paul has to say. He says, but neither Titus, now Titus is a different disciple that he had, that he took along with him at times, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. So why did Timothy need to get circumcised, but Titus didn't? Titus didn't have a mom that was a Jew, right? Titus didn't have a group of people that respected him because of how much he followed the teaching of the Jewish law because his mother had invested in him. It wasn't necessary for Titus to be circumcised. He was a Gentile, remember? Acts chapter 15, it wasn't necessary. But Timothy, they did it just to keep a good testimony, a good report to those that are with or without. Okay, and then flip over a couple more chapters, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 2. It says, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. He's talking to these people and he's like, circumcision really doesn't gain you anything. It's just simply a picture, right? It's kind of like getting baptized. Like the day you got baptized, did it really gain you anything in the Lord? No, you already had everything you were going to get. You had all the Holy Spirit you were ever going to get. It was just a picture for everybody else. That's kind of like what circumcision was. It didn't really gain Timothy anything to get baptized or to get circumcised. It was a picture. It was his way of saying, hey, I want to have a good testimony to these people, right? I want to make sure that everything's on the up and up. And so, you know, Paul's telling these people, like, there's no benefit to circumcision. And so when you read Acts chapter 16 and he's talking about, well, I'm going to take Timothy with me and I'm going to circumcise him before we go. And that hangs up some people. Now, I understand in past point, you guys are probably like, okay, I get it. Like, he did, he didn't, I don't really care. But there is a point to understanding why things happen in the Bible, right? And transform that to your own life. And I understand you don't care if Timothy was circumcised or not. But I do have two questions for you personally today to wrap this thing up that maybe you should think about when you think about reading things like this. And so, you know, we all want to be used of God, right? Like, there's never a day in my life that I wake up and I'm like, maybe tomorrow, Lord. I just don't really want to be used today. You know, not today. We all want to be used. We all desire for the Lord to use us, right? I think Timothy did. And so he was like, Paul, whatever you think needs to happen, I'll do. Right? I'm willing to follow your leadership. We should do the same thing in the church, by the way. Like, if the Lord has impressed something on your heart, and you submit to the leadership. God will speak to the leadership of your church. God will use the leaders to allow those things to work out. Okay, so the first question that I want you to ask yourself, you know, just personally, when we look at just these five verses, what can be said of you as you wait to be used of the Lord? You know, we all want to be used. So what could be said of you? We looked at the Bible didn't say a lot about Timothy, but it said a couple things that stood out. And so if we were looking at you, Chris Cohen, or we were looking at you, you know, Ray Blowers, or you just go around the room, like, if we were looking at your life, and as you're waiting to just really be, not that you guys aren't being used of the Lord, by the way, I think everybody has submitted to the ministry, and by the way, I'm just looking around. As you're waiting, because there's never a time, even in my life, that I'm like, I'm being used pretty mightily, right, at times. There's a lot of things that I wish I did better, but there's never a time that I'm like, Lord, I don't want to be used anymore. Until I get something else off my plate, I can't take anything else. I want to be used. And so there's never a time. So I asked the Lord, like, what could be said of me as I wait to be used? I mean, just ask yourself. I'm not going to be the one that gives you those things. Right? We all mature and grow differently. You know, we all, some of us, you know, get on a fast track and we're like, you know, whatever it takes, I need to get. It's like when we pour concrete. Concrete gets hard no matter what. And I think a Christian is going to get to their end of the race no matter what. But there are things that you can do to either expedite that process or, as Mike Blake says, retard that process. Right? And it's really, that's the case. Like, when you pour concrete, it's going to get hard no matter what. You have X amount of minutes before it happens. Right? And then it's like scrubbing rocks. I've been there. You can put what they call calcium chloride in it. Right? It makes it set up even faster. You do that when it's cold outside because you don't want to be there all day long just waiting on this stuff, you know. So you can put something in to expedite the process. There are times in your life that you can put a little extra in your Christian walk to expedite the process of getting to where the Lord needs you to be. But then in the summertime, you can put what they call retarder in it. And I think that there are some Christians that put retarder in their life, right? And I don't really know what other way to say it. They just, and I'm not saying that they are retarded. I didn't say that. I'm just saying, I believe that there are some Christians that are like, just hold the phone. I'm going to do this at my pace, right? And I'm not ready to go that hard. I'm not ready to work that hard. I'm not ready to just really lay it down like that. And what I'm trying to say is, like, what could be said of you as you wait to be used of the Lord? You know, could it be said that you're doing everything that you can do no matter what? Or is it... I mean, they're doing some, but, you know, they're really trying to drag their feet through this process. You know, it says that Timothy, he believed and he was well reported of. And I don't look around the Passpoint class, by the way, and really you guys represent about half of them. There's over 50 people that make up the Passpoint class right now. That's crazy to think about because when Paige and I stepped into Passpoint almost 10 years ago, it got down to about 10 people. And so God's really doing something. And I just want to say, I really believe the Lord is using you guys. And so I don't look around the room thinking, man, I really hope that they got that retarder comment. Like that, I don't say that. I just mean, in general, I want you guys to understand, like, I believe you're doing it. But what could be said of you as you wait on the Lord? And the second question, you know, you need to ask yourself is, what are you willing to give up or sacrifice to be all things to all men? I kind of referenced this already. There's times where you might have liberty to do certain things. But you know what? There's times that you need to sacrifice what's okay for you. What do you need to give up or sacrifice? Maybe it's TV time. Maybe it's, you know, social media time. Maybe it's, you know, your liberty to wear jeans when you preach. Whatever it is, I don't know. What is it that God's saying, hey, I need you to just lay this down so that you can be all things to all men? Because you know what? You're so tied up in you and your liberty and your rights and all of that. I mean, what could be said of you? I mean, it's one thing to circumcise a baby. It's another thing to circumcise a man, right? That's a sacrifice. I'm just saying, you know, and you might not hear that everywhere, but I'm just trying to be real. And like, Timothy could have been like, no, wait a minute, Paul. My dad's a Greek. I don't have to do that. I'll explain myself to every person who wants to ask if that doesn't have to happen. But you know what he did? He's like, Paul, if you think it's necessary... And if it's going to be a good testimony to the Lord, I'm willing. Not really what I had in mind. Not on my list of to-dos today, but I'm willing to say, you know what, Lord, okay. I'll trust you. And those are just two basic. I mean, you read this and you're like, okay, well, that's cool. He circumcised him. And then, you know, after verse 6, we'll get into that next week. I don't really want to talk about that right now. But there's something to be said, you know. What could be said of you as you wait on the Lord? And what are you willing? Or what are you already giving? Or what are you not giving that you know the Lord is already telling you to give up or sacrifice to be all things to all men? Right? Just a question to ask yourself. All right, that's five verses. That's all I got. We're going to wrap up for today. So if you're listening online, peace. So.